Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message. Okay, guys, so I want to tell you about a place growing up. There was one thing in my life, one place in my life that I could never get control of. Could never get a handle on it. It's the place that I assume for a lot of you guys, I would assume, you wouldn't dare show anyone this place because you've lost all control. Okay? This is the place where you could find anything that you were looking for, yet at the same time, you couldn't. It's this weird paradox of nothing has a place, yet everything has a place. Okay? Do you know which place I'm talking about yet? Maybe for some of you. The place I'm talking about is your bedroom. Okay? How many of you guys in here, by a show of hands, you'd be willing, if I said, hey, let me come check out your room, you'd be willing to let me come see? Okay. So half of you, how many of you guys would be like, heck no, you're not stepping anywhere near that? Because, okay, so it's weird because I generally think of myself as an organized, neat person, but not my bedroom, okay? This was the place where it would reach a certain point. And maybe this is for some of you, maybe you guys have a place that is just a mess or somewhere that's out of control and it reaches this point. Maybe it's a parent that comes to you, or maybe it's a friend that comes and steps foot in your room or that place, or maybe, like me, I just step foot in there at some point and I look around and I ask myself, how did I let it get this bad? How did I let it get this bad? It's as if someone flips a switch and all of a sudden the lights come on and you realize, oh, this is bad. This is not good. I walk into my room and I'm like, when you can't see the floor, it's like, okay, this is bad. This is not good. And you ask that question, how did it get this bad? I like to think of this scenario if you guys have ever done anything really stupid. Have any of you guys been in a situation where you were making a poor decision and you're halfway through that decision that you stop and you're like, this was a mistake. This was a mistake. I should not have done this. So I was thinking, I'm a big like roller coaster thrill ride person. I had this moment when I rode my first drop tower. Okay, because you're slowly going up and you get to the top and you just go, oh, this is bad. This was the wrong choice here. This was not smart, right? And so maybe for some of you guys have experienced that. It all of a sudden it dawns and you're like, this was not the ideal situation here. But I also know that there's a serious side to that. It's not just the fun, funny things. Maybe we make some dumb decisions. But there is a serious side that comes with, oh, how did I let it get to this point? How did I let it get this bad? Because I think that becomes a question with any sin that we struggle with in our life. That we start to ask ourselves, man, how did it become this bad? If we've been participating in sin for a long time, maybe it's an ongoing lie that you're continually trying to lie and you're trying to remember what the truth was, and eventually it reaches this point, you're like, how did I let it get this far? Or maybe for some of you guys, you struggle with pornography and it gets to a point where it's out of control and it's like, man, how did I let it get to this point? Or maybe some of you, it's been a poor treating of a friend or a classmate that you've been really mean to them or you haven't treated them well, and all of a sudden it's like, man, this friendship is so broken now that you ask yourself, man, how did it get this bad? Or maybe for some of you guys, you're struggling with some sort of drug or alcohol, and it's reached the point where you're like going to that and you're asking yourself, how did I let it get to this point? Right? And we hit this point where those things, they're not satisfying. They turn into shame or guilt. And then we ask the question, how did I let it get this far? Because starting out, it doesn't seem so bad. It's innocent. Maybe we have control of the situation, but eventually what sin does, and this is the trap of sin, The trap of sin says you need to keep coming to this because that's going to be what fulfills you. That's going to be what sustains you. That's what's going to make you feel good. That's what's going to make you be happy. And you keep going to that and going to that and going to that. And then all of a sudden, you stop for a second. The switch is flipped and you're like, how did I let it get to this point? And that's the trap of sin. And it's interesting, guys, because if you're in here this morning, here's the lie of the world. The lie of sin is going to come to you and it's going to say, if you guys want to feel good, if you want to escape the hard things that happen in your life, the feelings that you don't want to feel, run to sin, run to drugs, run to pornography, run to these things to feel good. And you will reach a point, maybe some of you aren't at that point yet, but some of you will reach the point eventually that you're like, this doesn't work. This doesn't satisfy. I'm way too far in the trenches with this thing. Because here's the truth. All the while that that's happening, what God is saying is like, listen, if you would just obey me, if you would just follow me, I promise you, you will have life. Yet for some reason, we forget that or we ignore that and we run to those things and we keep doing the same thing until we realize, oh, I've made a mistake trusting my own way. Or I've made a mistake listening to what the world says or listening to what sin does in my life. And this morning, we're going to continue with the Passover, right? We've been going through this series talking about what the Passover is, and we get to the harsh reality of what actually happened in the Passover. And let me tell you guys this morning, this is not a fun passage for me to preach this morning. Because it shows the harsh reality of what comes with sin and evil. All right? And I have to wonder, in the Passover story, when we get to this point, for Pharaoh and for the people of Egypt who are about to be punished, they have to have probably asked this question when this event takes place. How did we let this happen? How did it get to this point? So, Bibles, Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 29. And let me just pause real quick and say this, guys. You guys encourage me greatly because I say Bibles and I look at a ton of you reach down and pick up your Bible. Okay? That is awesome because that means you guys aren't just ignoring this thing, but you're bringing this every week and you're getting into this. Okay? Because that is so important. So let me just say, super proud of you guys. All right? I love seeing you guys picking up your Bibles and opening it up. Now, if you've been with us, let's remember a little bit of a brief recap, right? We're talking about the Passover, right? So here's what's happening. God is freeing his people. He's going to free his people. They've been in slavery for years, and what God is doing is he is getting them out. He's heard their cries. He's heard their pleas, and God says, I am getting you out. Right, and we know this story kind of in Exodus. If you were to go back and look a little bit before that in the chapters before, we see the plagues, right? That God sends Moses before Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. And Pharaoh continually says, no, I won't do it. And so what God does is he sends plagues to punish the people of Egypt, saying, let my people go or you're going to be punished and you're going to experience these things. And over and over and over again, Pharaoh has so many chances, yet every single time, it's no. Well, it reaches kind of this breaking point with God. It's like, okay, you're not listening. Well, here's the last plague, and it's the worst. It's the worst one. And right, we talked about this Passover, that God is going to protect the people of Israel with the blood of the lamb, right? But he's going to punish the people of Egypt because they won't obey. They won't let the people go. And God basically says enough is enough. So, Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 29. Actually, let's jump back real quick. Let's go to 28. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron, right? They did just as the Lord had commanded. They put the blood on the door to protect themselves. And then verse 29, and that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Let me pray for us this morning. God, we're here learning about this really tough passage. That it's clear that there is punishment that comes with sin and evil. And so, God, help us this morning to process how this story shows how amazing and good you are. God, that you're a God that is righteous and that you right wrongs. And so, God, help me speak to these students this morning. Use your words, not mine, to encourage our students that they don't have to fear these things because they live in the truth and the life of Jesus. And so, God, we give this morning to you, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, I read this story, and I've heard of this story before. Maybe for a lot of you, you guys have heard this, and maybe for some of you, you haven't. But the first thing I hear with this story is firstborn sons. That would have been me. I'm a firstborn son. Any firstborn sons in here? Okay, I think that's an interesting perspective to read this story, right? It's like, oh, like if I was among the people of Egypt, that would have been me. Like I would have been struck dead. And anyway, that's like a scary thing that we think about. But with that idea, we read this and go, man, God sounds like an angry, vengeful God. He sounds angry and vengeful. Why would he do something this terrible? Maybe some of you in here have a hard time being all in with God because of something like this. And you're like, I thought God's all loving. This doesn't seem loving. But it's interesting because I would suggest this morning that when you look at this passage actually shows the goodness of God. Now, how does this show that God is good? Because he punishes sin and evil. He punishes it. God is good because he does not leave sin and evil unchecked. He punishes it. And let me ask this question. Is God good if he never judges evil? Is God good if he always leaves Satan unchecked? Right? I'm wondering this. If God had not done anything about what was happening in Egypt, would the people of Israel said God was good? If God hadn't done anything about the wrong that was happening to them, would they have said, God's good? I don't know. That's an interesting question. And some of you, you might push right back on that. Well, wait a second, because God does allow Satan to run around unchecked. Evil is all around, and God never does anything about it. How come God allows bad things to happen? How come God would allow something like this to happen or something in our world today? Because guess what? School shootings still happen. Racism still exists. Women are still treated like objects. Abortions still happen. People in the world are still starving. And if God is good, why doesn't he do anything about these things? Maybe that's a question that you stumble with. That you wonder, I can't get past that question. Let me just pause and say that's a good question. Because I think that is something as you guys mature in your faith and you understand God's nature, that is a question you need to ask to understand who God is. Does he allow these things to happen? Does he? If he's good, why would all this happen? And let me just say this to start with that question. It's our fault. We're the ones that messed up. God's intention in the very beginning was not to have a story like this. It just wasn't. But yet, we came into the world and we messed it up because of sin and the refusal to obey God. Think about this story. This story doesn't happen if the first time God comes to Pharaoh, says, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh says, "Okay." That doesn't happen. But I also want to start that reflection. Why do bad things happen? With another question. Does God really not do anything about those things? Because I know of a God who did something about those things. Okay, Zach, sure. God did something. I see what you're saying here. He did something about that. But killing firstborn sons? Like, come on. Firstborn, like, that's a little much. Why would God do that? Kill firstborn sons. Here's the thing. Remember back in the beginning of this series, we talked about the lamb the lamb that was sacrificed. And I came up here and I said, it was about the lamb, the Passover lamb being sacrificed to protect the people of Israel, but it technically wasn't about that lamb. It wasn't about the animal. Because that would eventually, that lamb covering the people of God to protect them from death, that lamb really represented the ultimate Lamb of God, right? Jesus, who would go to the cross and protect us from eternal sin and death, right? And the same thing kind of works here. The punishment in this story, yes, this plague was about killing firstborn sons of the Egyptians, but it really wasn't about those children. What this was about, this story points to the severity of what happens with sin and evil and what is required to cover those things. And that is the death of a firstborn son. Do you understand where I'm going with that? That what is required to cover the severity of sin and evil is the death of a firstborn son. It wasn't really about the death of all the firstborn children in Egypt. It was pointing to the death of the firstborn of God. And just as the deaths were a punishment for all the wrong that Egypt did to the people of God, Jesus' death on a cross was the punishment because of all the wrongs we did to him. But, and here is the incredible thing about God and why God is so good and why I can come up here this morning and read such a harsh passage and still say, God is good. Because just as the death of the firstborn children of Egypt led to the freedom of Israel from slavery, the death of the firstborn Jesus led to our freedom from sin and death forever. That's the good news for us this morning. So maybe you come to me this morning, you say, you want to tell me that God doesn't do anything about the evil in this world? I would suggest you ask that question and rethink the answer. Because I will proclaim to you guys all day long from what this Bible says that God did something about evil. And God did something about sin. And God did something about my sin, and he did something about your sin. And our God did something about me not having a path to eternity with him. God did something about that. And you can look at the world and you can ask, man, how did we let it get this far? I'm sure a lot of you guys, as you guys are growing up, it's interesting learning about this generation. Did you know this generation kind of questions culture now more than ever? Because you guys are looking at the world and what the world tells you is going to work and be good. And you're like, that's not adding up. These things aren't adding up. So you can look at the world and ask, how do we let it get this far? I think a better question is by looking at the cross and asking, how do we let it get that far? How do we let it get that far? You can ask that about this world. You can ask that about your sin. I can ask that about my bedroom. How did we let it get this far? And you know the answer. Egypt let it get this bad because they refused to listen to God. And guys, let me tell you, God gave Pharaoh and Egypt so many chances. God kept warning them, I'm telling you, you're going to be punished. Obey me. And this won't happen. I just wonder, like, what if God sent frogs and that's when Pharaoh was like, okay, frogs is enough. Right? And let the people go. But that's not what happened. And let me ask you this. If we look at this story and we see the deaths of all these firstborn children, is that God's fault or is that Pharaoh's fault? But here's the thing. Some of you may say, okay, Pharaoh wasn't listening, but God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go that far. But let me ask you this. If God didn't go this far, would Pharaoh have said they can go? I don't know. I don't know. Guys, God is a patient God. He gave Pharaoh so many chances. I like to think of this. If you guys were, when you guys were really young, do you remember when your parents would count down? Like they would say, listen, you're going to get spanked if I get to three, right? And they'd start counting. One, two, I'm serious. Don't make me get to three. But what we love to do is just test it. Are they going to do something? They going to do it? They going to do that? Right? And then they hit three, and guess what? You know, I got spanked a lot because I let it get to three. And so here's, Pharaoh got spanked, guys. But it's interesting that God would look at the evil that was happening in Egypt, and he did something about it. He did something about it. What Pharaoh did not understand, he did not understand this truth about God, that when God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't know if Pharaoh just forgot that or didn't know that, but when God says, I'm getting my people out, guess what? God's going to get his people out. And we let it get this bad because we refuse to obey. That's what Pharaoh did. He refused to obey. He refused to listen to God, and it got that bad. And it gets that bad in our life. It gets that bad with sin or with this world around us because we refuse to obey and follow Jesus. The world has gotten this bad. The world continues to disappoint because we refuse to submit to the lordship of Jesus. That's why. So when you look at culture and you ask, how do we let it get this bad? The answer is because we aren't following Jesus. We aren't obeying Jesus. We aren't submitting to him being Lord. And more than that, I think we forget sometimes that Jesus has done something about how bad my sin is. We don't live in that grace. We don't live in that truth. We forget that. And that's the grace that I want us to walk away with this morning. If anything, I want you to see that Jesus saw how bad it was. And Jesus saw how bad it was going to get. And Jesus looked at my sin and said, I see how bad Zach is going to be. And he looked at you guys and he said, I see how bad their sin is going to be. And Jesus did something about it. Jesus looked at all of that. He looked at the world, he looked at my sin, he looked at your sin, and he said, you know what? I'll take the punishment. Because I want them with me. I want them with me. And so with the Passover, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to look at the Passover and think about how horrible it is. And to be a little uneasy with this story, because that should point you directly to how destructive and horrible and evil sin is. And that it takes a punishment. And it takes something like Jesus going to the cross. When you read this story, do not miss Jesus. That Jesus was the firstborn son sacrificed on our behalf that we could be free and experience life. And so this morning, I want you guys to take a good long look at your sin, your brokenness, maybe ask the question, how did I let it get this far? And understand that Jesus had to die for that. Jesus had to die for whatever you guys are struggling with. He had to die for how broken this world is. But in dying for that, guess what? He gave you a way out. He freed you. And this morning, you can rest in the fact that our God rescued us from sin and death. Hey, guys, we don't have to fear an angel of death. I don't have to look at this story and be afraid, is God ever going to strike me down? Because the God of grace says, no, Jesus covered that. Jesus has already done it, so you have nothing to worry about. You have a promise of life with me. And that's when you accept and you follow that. And say, I want that. I want to follow that kind of God. I want to accept and I want to believe in that kind of God. Here's the thing. When you accept and you follow the truth of who Jesus is, the statement changes from, how did I let it get this bad? And that changes to, I can't believe Jesus lets me have it this good. I can't believe it. I'm going to go ahead and end this time now. But what I want us to do is I want to give you guys just a little bit of time. And as soon as I walk off stage, what I want you guys to do is I just want you to just take a minute to pray. And what I want you to do is I want you to thank God for sending his son Jesus to die for your sin. And I also want you to thank God that you have the chance for freedom here on earth and life in heaven forever. That's the truth that you guys get this morning. And I think sometimes after hearing that, I just need to stop, I need to pray, and I just need to say thank you. That I can't believe Jesus lets me have it this good, that he would promise me life now and life forever. And here's another thing. This morning, if you're in here and you haven't accepted Jesus, and maybe you're struggling and haven't really chosen to believe in him, maybe consider that this morning. And maybe this time of reflection says, Jesus, I want this. I believe in you. And I want to rest in this, because God promises that when you follow him, he promises this, guys. He promises this. When you follow him and you believe in him, you receive forgiveness, you receive life, and you receive freedom from this world. And you also receive the prize that is in heaven. Guys, the world is going to disappoint you. Sin is going to disappoint you. Jesus, he never will. So this morning, why don't we take some time right now and let's pray and let's thank God for who Jesus is.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.